I'm going to minister the burden of my heart tonight. It'll be a little different maybe from former services. But some time ago, God just burdened my heart with this thought, this message, and told me to preach it. Convicted me very, very deeply. I did, as you heard Brother Davis say he did, I repented. And I thank God for the privilege of repentance. And when I read this passage of Scripture, you're going to question what I've already said. But let me read it, and then I'll explain it. From the second chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, Brother Glass, what convicted you about that passage? And I'll just tell you, the way in former years, times past, that we have preached this plan of salvation, God revealed to me in prayer the beauty of Acts 2:38, as well as the necessity. He revealed the beauty. And I'm going to preach to you tonight from the thought of our beautiful. And I'm going to place strong emphasis on beautiful plan of salvation. Taking nothing away from the essentiality of it. Because anything is essential doesn't make it ugly. It doesn't take the beauty away from it because it's essential. Before I allow you to be seated, I'm going to remind you that God created this earth and everything there is in it. Everything that lives, that breathes, God created it. And then He created an earth for this creation to abide on, to live on. And then He created substances to sustain it. But He didn't stop there. He beautified this earth. He beautified it. He is a God of beauty. He loves beautiful things. He created beautiful things. Driving through your state, I said repeatedly, how beautiful. How beautiful. Not just land to cultivate, not just streams to flow, but God added a touch of beauty to everything He did.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He added a touch of beauty to it. And you inherited that from Him. And you're all that He created that inherited that from Him. Nothing else He created cares a thing for anything beautiful. But you like beauty. They manufacture automobiles. They put some beauty along with the automobile. You build a house, you put a touch of beauty to it. You buy clothes, you think of beauty. You've got beauty in your mind. You inherited that from God because He loves beautiful things. When He promised Noah that He was going to put a bow in the cloud, He could have just put any kind of a bow. Just a black bow, a gray bow, just anything, and it would have been a bow. But when God created the bow, He added lots of beauty to it. You've seen hundreds of them, but if one was to show itself tomorrow, you'd stop and look at it again. Beauty. God loves beauty. Praise the Lord. I think of so many beautiful things I've seen in this earth that all I can say God created it for was something beautiful to us, for us to look at. Just to stand and stare and behold. Look at the beautiful flowers. Various colors. Just talk about the rose. That's my favorite flower. Blood red rose. Snow white rose. Yellow rose. Pink rose. Just put a bouquet of them together. You've never seen nothing more beautiful. Who created that? God. He loves beauty. And you better be thankful that He made you beautiful and handsome. He didn't have to. No, He didn't have to. Boy, your ear would look so funny sticking up here. But He knew right where to put it to add to you. God is a God that loves beauty. And I'm going to preach on His beautiful plan of salvation tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. When I think about what God has created on this earth and the beauty of it, I could just continue on with the beautiful things God created. I just thought of Niagara Falls, not too far from you. And I guess it's very common to you. But people travel thousands of miles to see Niagara Falls. I've been there two or three times, and I'd go again and just stand and stare at it. The beauty. The atmosphere there creates a rainbow. Every time I've ever gone, there was a rainbow there. Atmospheric conditions produces it. And I've seen many, many beautiful sights. And you have too. You have traveled and spent money just to go see something that God created. You've done it. And He put a beautiful touch to it. Then you study about the New Jerusalem. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And in prayer and worship one day, enjoying the blessings of God, God spoke to me through my own lips, and I heard it with my own ears, that place is already prepared. It's ready for us. God made me know you're not waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. It's ready. That beautiful place. Beautiful place. Street of gold. Not streets. They don't say streets. It says street of gold. You think about one street. winding its way all the way through a city 1,500 miles square. I'll never get lost. Just turn around and go back. It'll take me back to my mansion. Oh, I think of the beauty of that city. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of gold. He's created all that beauty for us. Created a beautiful world for us to live in. Created a beautiful city for us to go to. Why do you think he'd give us a hard, ugly path to go in? He's given us a beautiful way to get there. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to preach the rest of my life the beauty of God's plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach on repentance, and I'm going to preach the beauty of it. The beauty of repentance. Sometimes we wad it in a shotgun and explode it in your face. So we so use it that it turns people completely off instead of on. God made me know you preachers have driven more people away from the church preaching Acts 2:38 than you have won to the church because of the way you present it. Just draw it on them as a double-barreled shotgun or a dagger or a knife and let them see how ugly repentance is. I want you to know repentance is beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Let me tell you, in essence, what repentance really, really is. It's this. You're walking on your way to hell. Every step you take is taking you one step closer to hell. Every step you take in life, one step closer to hell. Now here's what repentance is. Turn around. Turn around. Now you start walking. Every step you take takes you closer to the streets of gold. Takes you closer to heaven. Takes you closer to God. Now if that isn't beautiful, if that isn't a privilege, you tell me what is. You tell me what is. If just turn around. Just turn around. I'm not going in this direction no more. I wish I never had gone in that direction. I'm sorry, Lord, that I ever walked this road to hell. I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me for it. I'm going to now walk the straight and narrow path that leads to the glory world. Brother, if that isn't a privilege, you tell me what is. That's the greatest privilege man ever had in all the days of his life. Praise God is to repent of his sins, have them washed away, they're gone forever, and he's clean, he's free, he feels clean, he feels free, and he's on his way to the glory world. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let me give you another little thought to think about it. Maybe help you to see it better. Let's talk about the prodigal son that asked his father for everything that was coming to him, and his father granted it, and he left. He spent it all in riotous living. He found himself hired out to a man that owned hogs. And he got a job feeding the hogs. And he was a Jew, of course, and he was taught against eating hogs' meat. He would not eat hogs' meat, taught against it. And now he is so low, he's so far from home, he's so far away from his teaching, from his bringing up. He strayed so far away. until he's eating the husk that comes from the hog's food. He's eating the food of the hog now. So far away from his teaching, from his bringing up. But he repented. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to climb out of this hog pen. What a privilege to get out of that hog pen. And I'm going back to my Father's house. I know I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of any longer being called his son. But the servants of my Father has got more than I have. And I like to tell the world, don't let the devil tell you he's got more to give you than God has. Well, this man learned from experience. The servants of my Father has more than I have. I'm going to go back and ask him just to let me be one of his hired servants. But that loving Father, that kind and gentle and gracious and forgiving, his Father was waiting for him. The day he left, he put a calf in the pen and began fattening that calf. And that calf was known to the entire plantation as the fatted calf. Of all the calves that father had, there was only one called the fatted calf. And that fatted calf is waiting for my son to come home. I'm waiting. I'm prepared for his coming. If you knew how prepared the Lord was to receive you tonight, you'd come running to his open arms. You read this passage again, it seemed like to me that every day he went and looked down that road to see if he could see his son coming home. And he would look today and go back and go back. And don't tell him how many times he saw someone coming and just waited and waited with anxiety, trusting and hoping it'll be him. And when he got close enough to recognize him, it wasn't him. But one day he was looking down the road and he saw an object way down yonder, unrecognizable, but he stood there and watched and waited and watched and waited, getting a little closer, and after a while he recognized it was his son, and he gave orders back, "Go kill the fatted calf!" The whole plantation knew what calf he's talking about, the one I put up and fatted for him. I fattened it for him, and here it comes, my son that was lost. Say, folks, if that isn't beautiful, you tell me something that is. I can't stay here too long. I just can't. I got too far to go. Sister Glass and I were preaching a revival in Lake City, Florida, years ago. Sitting on the platform with the pastor, a fine-looking gentleman walked in. And the pastor said, "Brother Glass, that's a businessman here in the city, and he attends one night of every revival we have. And he always leaves a sizable check when he comes." And he said, "I understand he goes to every revival in our town and does the same thing." He said he owns a four-chair barber shop, and he works in the last chair. He's my barber. "If you get a haircut while you're here, Brother Glass, go to him. He's a fine man." And the man sat down. Stayed through the service, gave the altar call, and people were praying around the altar. And I stayed in the pulpit till the altar service was over. And he came up and leaned against the bench, just two or three benches here on the left, leaning against it, watching the altar service. And when I saw it breaking, I knew he was going to leave, and I wanted to meet him. And I went down to where he was standing and shook hands with him. And I said, "Sir, the pastor sure said some wonderful things about you when you walked in." He said, "He did?" I said, "Yes. I wish you could have heard them. You would have been pleased." He said, "Well, I could say a lot of good things about him." I said, he told me what a wonderful friend you were, and what a wonderful citizen you were, and that you attended one service of this revival or his revival and every revival in the city." And I said, while he's telling me all of that, he said, you as a steward in a church, and if you know what church you steward, you might know what church he belonged to. And he told me that. And I said, while he was telling me all of this, I located your picture in the Bible. And I would just like to show it to you. He kindly smiled. I said, "I'm sincere, sir. I've got your picture in the Bible. And I'd like to show it to you. Would you permit me to?" He said, "Why, sure, sure." And I turned to my pet chapter in the Bible, the 10th chapter of Acts. That's a unique chapter. Very unique. And I thank God for it. And I changed the first verse to fit him. Brother Glass, well, all the first verse does is introduce the individual by name, tell you where he lives, and what he does. So I changed it. The first verse says there was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius. I changed it. I said there was a man in Lake City, Florida called, and I forget his name, I'll call him John Doe. A barber, works in a four-chair barber shop. He kind of smiled. Then I gave him the next verse verbatim, just exactly like it is. A devout man. I could have said, "You're going to split hell wide open if you don't get the Holy Ghost and be baptized in Jesus' name." Out he would have gone and have never come back. That's right. That's how we've driven people away. Use the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to show you the wisdom of the Holy Ghost in this incident if you'll listen to me. This man was introduced, a devout man. Cornelius was called a devout man. So I told this gentleman, "You are a devout man, one that fears God with all your house. Will you give much alms you gave tonight and praise to God always?" There is your picture, sir. And he was just so pleased. He smiled and said, "Thank you, Brother Glass." And I let him enjoy that picture of himself that I had shown him for a few minutes. And then I said, "Sir, may I read on?" He said, "Sure." And I read on down where God sent an angel and told Cornelius to send to Joppa and he'd find Peter lodged at a tanner's house. He'll come and tell you what you ought to do. If that had been some of us, we'd have said, "He'll come and tell you what to do to be saved." It's not time yet to tell this man that. The Holy Ghost used wisdom. Tell you what you ought to do. And I said to this man, using the wisdom of the Holy Ghost here, "Say, friend, do you think if that man Cornelius, devout, praying, giving, fearing, if there was yet something he ought to do, do you reckon by chance, friend, there may be something yet that you ought to do?" He said, "It stands to reason, doesn't it?" I said, "Yes, it does. Would you let me go on with you?" And I took him all the way through the chapter. and showed him where Cornelius received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, sir, the only difference in Cornelius in the last verse of the 10th chapter and the first verse of the 10th chapter, I don't say he prayed anymore. I don't say he was any more devout. I don't say he gave anymore. I don't say he feared anymore. The only difference I can find is he is now baptized with the Holy Ghost. He talked in tongues. He was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That chapter closes showing you the difference in Cornelius, and that's all the difference I can find. That man thanked me. He came back the next night, went to the altar, received the Holy Ghost, and was baptized in Jesus' name. This is a beautiful plan of salvation. Don't slap people with it. I could have told him in the beginning, if you don't get out there and that altar and repent of your sins, you're going to split hell wide open. You drive people off like that. Show them something worth coming after. Well, the reason why I went to this, I want to show you, preaching on repentance. Peter, because he went to a Gentile's house and preached this plan of salvation to him, was called on the carpet by the general board. Called to Jerusalem to give an account of preaching to the Gentiles. And he went. Now I'm sincere when I say he went before the board of apostles, presbyters, to give an account of preaching to the Gentiles. Now you listen, this ought to be worth something to you. And they questioned him. And finally and lastly, when he had a chance to answer them, this is what he had to say. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Amen. Now listen at the answer of the board of apostles, presbyters. Listen to them. When they heard these things, they held their peace. They withdrew their accusations from Peter. They withdrew their charge from him. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, listen at what they said, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Say, audience, repentance is a grant of God to you for eternal life. My heart aches to make you see that. Instead of throwing it at you to knock you down, I want to tell you, God Almighty, the eternal, ever-living Creator, loved we Gentiles enough when the Jews hated us, didn't love us. God had a time of getting Peter to go preach to them, how he had to deal with them. But God loved them, and God loves you. God loves you, And He's granted you. He's granted you. Oh, you say, but I've got to. He granted you the privilege of repentance unto eternal life. What a grant. What a grant. You read in your papers certain cities' government made them a grant. So many thousands or tens of thousands of dollars for certain projects. A grant. A grant. I look up the word grant, so I just wanted to know exactly what it meant. To bestow formally. To bestow formally. Allow. Allow to be fulfilled. God will allow you that's hell bound tonight. Maybe you're habited bound. I don't know what has you bound. But my God will allow you to be free tonight. Allow to be fulfilled as a privilege. As a privilege. Repentance is a privilege granted of God. That's the way I'm going to preach it the rest of my life. I'm going to also let them know it's essential. It's essential. You must repent. You must. But that don't take the beauty of it away. You must drink water to live. You must. You must. But that doesn't take the wonderful taste away from it. That doesn't taste the beauty of it away from it. There's many things essential to your existence, but it doesn't take the beauty away from it because it's essential. Brother Davis, aren't you glad? I'm not asking you no question what you repented of. I'm not asking you. That's you and God. But aren't you glad when you felt to repent that you could steal off and find the place of repentance? Praise God. I am not through repenting yet. I repent quite often. And there may be some saints in this service tonight. It might do you a little good to repent of some errors and some wrongs and bad feelings in your heart and in your life tonight. And God allows you to do it. He grants you that privilege of repentance. And I'm going to show you, you couldn't do it if God didn't grant it. Esau made the mistake of his life and sold his birthright. And all the rest of his lifetime, he sought a place of repentance and never did find it. Don't tell me it's not a promise, a gift that comes from God. God's so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then the next, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Who would resent being baptized in that lovely, precious, majestic, saving, powerful, glorious, wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Jesus. Who was it that went to the cross for your sins? Who was it that hung suspended between heaven and earth for your sins? Who was it? Jesus. Who gave every drop of His blood? Who shed every drop? Don't never say He spilt His blood. He didn't spill one drop of blood. To spill means to accidentally, unintentionally capsize. He didn't unintentionally. He didn't accidentally. He deliberately, He willingly went to the cross and shed, poured out every drop of His life's blood, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Then will you resent being baptized in His name. 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 What a name. What a name. What a name. Every prophet that ever had the privilege of speaking with the Lord, ask Him His name. He's talking to Moses through a burning bush. Through a burning bush. I'm gonna digress here just a moment. I baptized a denominational preacher in Jesus' name. He received the Holy Ghost. Never asked me one question. Just come to the altar, sought the Lord a few nights, and told me, Brother Glass, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I baptized him, and after a few more nights, he received the Holy Ghost. Never asked me one question about the Godhead. Not one. But one day, he drove up to my house. Got out of the car and I invited him in. Sat down for a few moments. And he said, Brother Glass, I've been studying and thinking about the Godhead. And I thought, oh my, here it comes. Here it comes. That it's inbred in him, that Trinitarian doctrine. It's just down in him. And how am I going to get it out? That's just my thoughts. He said, he took the initiative. I didn't have to say anything. He said, you know, Brother Glass, I've been thinking, if each and every time God appeared on this earth in some form or other, if that was a deity apart from the eternal God, here's exactly what he said. We'd need an adding machine to add him up. He said, for instance, God actually talked to Moses, talked to him from a burning bush. There's an object, a burning bush, and God Almighty is talking to Moses from that bush. But that's not another person in the Godhead. That's God manifesting Himself in a burning bush. I thought, boy, God showed you some things. I just let him talk on. And he went to everywhere God revealed himself. Wrestled with Jacob. And when he decided to come to this world as a Savior, he manifested himself in the form of a man. And he came in the form of a man. That same eternal God that came in the form of a burning bush. I got up and walked across the living room and shook his hand. I said, Brother Welburn, God showed you more in a few minutes than I could teach you in a lifetime. Praise the Lord. Oh, that blessed name, Jesus. Each and every one that is ever privileged to speak to Him. Moses said to Him, when He's talking to Him from the bush, who can I tell sent me down into Egypt? And that God told him from the bush, tell them that I am has sent thee.
I'm glad I'm not up here tonight encouraging you to be baptized in the name of I Am. I got a name for you.
I got to get off of that. Sister Glass and I were in a revival in Pensacola, Florida. We stayed in Florida nearly a year, preached two camp meetings and three camp meetings. And Sister testified tonight that she got the Holy Ghost in one of those camp meetings. You don't know how that thrills us. Everywhere we go, I meet somebody that is for camp meetings, special occasions, and that's all I go to anymore. Somebody will come around by the glass, receive the Holy Ghost, camp meeting in Indiana, Ohio, California, Arizona, somewhere. And I'll never forget it, Brother Glass. I think of you and refer to you and pray. You don't know how much good that does us. But we were in a revival in Pensacola, Florida. And it's hard for some people to believe, but 100 and how many? 176 received the Holy Ghost in that revival. During an altar service, there was a lady sitting over here. The assistant pastor came to me and said, Brother Glass, don't mind looking now. See that lady right over here? And I looked and she smiled. Said she wants to talk to you. She's a visitor. And Brother Glass, I wish you'd go talk to her. I went. I went down to see what she wanted. And she had her Bible open. And she said, Brother Glass, right here. Right here. God told me to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right here. I said, no, he never. She looked at me just the same as say, you a preacher and never have found that? Oh, I want you to know we found it before you did. She said, Brother Glass, he did, said, I just read it while you was a-coming down here. I said, Sister, he did not tell you to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Brother Glass, here it is, read it. Read it. I said, no, you read it. You read it. Well, now, if I didn't think she could read it to me, I had another thought coming. Well, I can read it to you. She didn't say it like that. She was a nice lady. But she read, go ye therefore. I stopped her. I said, was he talking to you? And she looked puzzled. She actually looked like she wished she hadn't sent for me. Was he talking to you? And to save her embarrassment and making her answer me, I said, read on. And she read. And teach all nations. I said, was he talking to you? She looked more puzzled than ever. And to save her embarrassment and demanding an answer, I said, read on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. I said, was he talking to you? Read on. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always.
I said, "Now, sister,
you told me when I came down here that Jesus told you to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you said it was recorded right there. And you read it. Now I'm asking you, and I feel like you ought to answer me, since you've invited me down here to talk to. Was Jesus talking to you?" And I'd like to ask you that. I'd just like to ask you that question. One of the best things for you to learn and study in the Word of God is when you read any verse of Scripture, who is speaking, to whom is He speaking, and for what purpose. Now, who's speaking here? Jesus. Now, I ask her, who is He speaking to? You said it was you. Was He talking to you? She said, "Come to think of it, I don't think He was." I said, "Sister, I know He wasn't. If He was talking to you, it's time you was getting going." He said, "Go." He said, "Teach." He said, "Baptize. It's time you was going." And I said, "Now, if He wasn't talking to you, I want to ask you, who was He talking to?" But she said, "Brother Glass, it seems to me like He was talking to preachers." I said, "Right you are. You're right. He was talking to preachers. And there's no preacher got any business baptizing anyone until they first know what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is." And I'd like to tell the world that. And I said to her, "Who were the preachers He was talking to?" I said, "If you back up to the 16th verse, you'll find out. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where He had appointed them." I said to her, "Why was they 11? She said, "Judas had betrayed Him." I said, "You're right. That's who He was talking to." And if you'll turn to the book of the Acts, Acts of the Apostles. The apostles that He told to go baptize, they're now baptizing. They're in action, doing what He told them. And I said, in every place you see an apostle baptizing anybody, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. She didn't give up easy. She studied a little bit. I could tell she was studying, and I gave her plenty of time to study. And she finally said, "Brother Glass, that's right. That's true." But she said, "I really don't think it makes any difference how you're baptized." That's what a lot of people say. God bless their precious hearts. God bless them. I love them, every one. And I said to her, "I can tell, since talking to you, that you're quite well acquainted with the Scripture. I'm going to ask you a question now. You said it didn't make any difference how they were baptized, just as long as it's baptized. Did it make any difference what river Naaman dipped in?"
She looked like she wished I wasn't there again. I said, there's a lot of rivers in the world. I suppose there's as many natural streams then as they are now. We've got some canals and ship channels they didn't have, but rivers were here. Did it make any difference? Naaman first thought didn't. If I got to be dipped in water, a river, why can't I go to the rivers of my own land? Naaman, you can go to the rivers of your own land. Over there on that river where Grandma lives on the banks of it. You can go right behind Grandma's house and dip 70 times 7. But you won't get nothing but wet. That's all you'll get. If you want your healing, do what the Word said do.
I'm going to tell you, I want you folks to hear me say this and understand me saying, understand what I'm saying. Don't, if you're going to quote me verbatim. I say this, excluding the anointed of God in the Old Testament. Naaman's one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. Excluding the anointed of God. He was a man, even though in his greatness, was big enough to walk in the light. He was dying of leprosy, and a little maid said, oh, that my Lord Naaman could go to the prophet in Israel. And his wife heard it and told Naaman. That's the first little light he saw. That's the first. And he goes by way of the king down to the king of Israel's house. The king of Israel got mad. Who do they think I am? A God that I can heal leprosy? The prophet of God heard about it and said, send him to me. And here goes Naaman to the prophet. He gets to the prophet, and the prophet don't even come out and lay hands on him. Boy, we'd be in bad shape. Better come out and rub the fur the right way. But that prophet of God never even went to the gate, never went to the door. He told Naaman, go dip in Jordan 7 times. Naaman got mad. Why didn't he come out here and lay his hands on him? Oh, Brother Glass, you just said he was a great man. Yeah, he's great. Great. I'm not going to condemn him for that. I've known of a lot of Holy Ghost people get mad at the preacher. One of his servants slipped over to him and said, if he'd have told you something great to have done, you would have done it. But he tells you to go to Jordan and dip. Now listen, I wasn't going to deal with this as long as I am, but I feel something here and I'm going to follow the lead of the Spirit. If he'd have told me to go dip in Jordan 7 times, that would have been a pleasure and a privilege. Let an old country boy go down to the river and dip, and get up and dip. And I did that without him telling me to. But that was Naaman, captain of a Syrian host. Mighty man. Man of intellect. Man of means. Second to the king.
The king treasured Naaman. It's the reason he sent him to Israel to see if he could get his healing. Loved him. Now can a man of his caliber, of his stature, can he humble himself and dip in Jordan? Can he do it? One out of a million will, but the rest of them won't. But he is just big enough to do it, and he got his healing. And I asked the lady, was any other river? And she studied, studied, studied. And she finally, I saw a smile come over her face, and I know she had, and she had me an answer. And I waited for it. There were plenty of time. Don't rush him. Don't rush him. Don't hurry him. She said, Brother Glass, I can tell you why God told Naaman to go to Jordan. Said, Jordan is a muddy river. That's where it gets its name. Jordan. A muddy. I've seen Jordan. I know what I'm talking about. And he said, she said, Naaman was rich. He was proud. He was haughty. He was heady. He was high-minded. And to humble him, God gave him no choice. He sent Naaman to Jordan to humble him because of his pride and his social standing, because of his wealth. And I let her feel real good in saying that, and then I said to her, lady, are you too rich, too proud, too stiff, too starchy to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? You win! Brother, there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Thank God for the name. Say, folks, if I was you here tonight and never been baptized in that name, I wouldn't let the sun come up tomorrow until I was buried in the name of Jesus Christ. Have my sins remitted. He precotomo cartalabo shalalabahaikamiyamanalya. If that isn't beautiful, don't tell me the name of Jesus isn't beautiful. Sacred. Precious. Oh, I love that name. Brother, if you don't believe we preachers on this platform can preach a week on this name, you stay here with us. We'll prove it to you. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to tell you something. There is men and women in this service tonight that's ready to die for that name. They'll never deny it. They'll never deny it. And down the road, that's going to make the difference. With many people, it's the difference now. Let me go on. The next thought in this beautiful plan of salvation is, and you shall receive the gift. Gift of the Holy Ghost. Always insert that word gift. Don't say, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's taken away from the preciousness. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift. Who is there in this audience that does not want and will not receive a gift from God? God Almighty, the Omnipotent One, the Omnipresent One, the Omniscient One, the Eternal One, Creator of the heavens and the earth, offering you a gift. A gift from God, not from me, not from the superintendent, not from the evangelist or the pastor. It's a gift from God. And you can usually always determine the value of the gift by the giver. What kind of a gift do you think God would give? I was in such a meeting somewhere. I was walking by here, and there's a group over here, younger. Everywhere I go, they're younger, so don't take nothing away. And one of them broke ranks from over here and met me out here. And it is easy for me to tell the rest of them was backing him up and waiting to hear my answer. And this one said it loud enough to be heard around. Brother Glass, do you believe you can be saved without the Holy Ghost? He wanted me to answer him, yes or no. But I wouldn't oblige him. I answered as Jesus usually answered. I answered him by asking him a question. And I said, do you want to be? Are you saying, I want you to save me, Lord, but I don't want your gift? Is that what you're saying? I don't want to go to hell. I'd love to be saved, but I don't want your gift. And there's multiplied thousands and millions of people that's trying to make it without the gift. Saying the gift isn't for you today. I read it to you. Peter said the promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. And the Lord said, whosoever will, let him come. And that poor little fellow looks like he wished he'd have stayed over there. I asked him another question. I said, really and truly, can you expect him to? after he goes to Calvary and pays such a price, for you to have a gift. And now you're saying, I don't want it.
Brother, it's the most beautiful gift anyone ever received in all of God. Oh, hallelujah!
And it's wrapped up for you tonight. It's for you tonight. It's for you. It's for you. Listen to Jesus. Listen at Him. That reasonable Christ. I wish I could preach Him like I want to. But this old gruff voice, worn out, 53 years at this, I think it's pretty good. Hold up as well as it has. But I wish I could speak to you so softly and tender and woo some bit of it to just make you want it. Listen at Him reason with some people that were reasonable. He said to some parents, if your child would ask you for a piece of bread, would you give it a stone? Would you give it a stone? If your child was to ask you for a piece of fish, would you give it a serpent? If your child was to ask of you for an egg, would you give it a scorpion? And of course, it's in their hearts, no, 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 no. Then He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Beautiful. 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 How many of you have this beautiful plan of salvation tonight? How many of you appreciate it? Stand to your feet, will you please? Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Praise the Lord! 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 It's the most beautiful message that's ever been preached. If you had a hard time listening to me preach this beautiful plan tonight, you ought to listen to Noah preach in his day. You ought to listen to Rahab preach in her day. You ought to listen to Jonah preach up and down the streets of Nineveh. Go back in the Bible and find any message anyone ever preached at any time, and you'll find this to be the most glorious, wonderful, precious, beautiful message God's ever given man for the human race. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Let's worship our God tonight. Worship Him. I don't mean just lift your hands. I mean really worship God. Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Let's give just a few moments here, precious saints. Be prayerful. There is a few here, always are in a crowd this size. Though you don't know them, you can be assured there's some there that don't know the Lord. There's some here tonight that don't know Him. And I don't want you to leave not knowing Him. As perilous as these times are and as dangerous, I wouldn't want to get on the highway without the Lord. I wouldn't want to face tomorrow without the Lord. Is there anyone in this beautiful audience that would like to leave here with God's glorious gift tonight? Your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to ask you to step out in the aisle and come down here. You'll find more people to pray with you than that can get around you. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Come on, hon. Come on. Lady by, come on.